I'll take your Bibles now and go to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 16. Once again, I know it's different. I know it's not the same as having church inside, but you know, for the first couple thousand years of the existence of preaching, it didn't happen inside anyways. We're just enjoying it the way they used to enjoy it. In fact, we still got a little bit more of a comfort. We've got a nice heated cars and a good old PA system, so praise the Lord for that. Psalms chapter number 16. We're going to read the whole chapter this morning, and I'm going to take one word, and from that one word, we will build the foundation for this morning's message. Psalm chapter number 16, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath instructed, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also resteth in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The title of this morning's message is this: Preservation Under Pressure. Preservation Under Pressure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we do thank you, Lord, for the technology that we have. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that we have in our lives this morning. Lord, thank you for the ability to still meet together. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Lord, thank you for our pastor, and we ask that this morning that your hand would be upon him, that you would give him strength. Lord, that you would encourage him. Lord, that you would just touch his body so that way he can be back with us soon. But Lord, those of us that are here this morning, Lord, we need you. Lord, it is a different atmosphere, but Lord, it is still the same word, and you are still the same God. We still have the same Holy Spirit available to us. Lord, we ask, Lord, that as I speak this morning, that your Holy Spirit's presence would move through me. But Lord, as we listen, Lord, we ask that the word that is preached be simple, be clear, and that we yield to you as we listen so that way we might learn something, Lord, that would be not just a help to us, but Lord, that we might be able to help others, Lord, as we go through our lives. Lord, we ask that you'd be with us this morning. Lord, that you would just use this truth. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. In Psalms chapter number 16, we find a David, not as a king, but as an individual who is running for his life. David actually writes this psalm while running from the persecution of Saul. I do not have the time this morning to tell the entire story, but if you will remember how Saul several times tried to kill David, David deciding, already knowing that he was going to be king one day, deciding it would be best if he left. He decides that he is going to run. And we find himself being hunted like an animal. We find him not just being hunted from an enemy. This was his hero. You remember that David actually worked before he killed Goliath. He worked with Saul. He was Saul's armor bearer. He helped Saul's spirit through the music that David played. This was a mentor of David. Not only that, Saul was family by marriage. Saul was David's father-in-law. If you remember that David marries Saul's daughter, Michal. So Saul was not just a random enemy. This was a hero. This was a mentor. This was family. And honestly, it was David's friend. David and Saul were friends. If you read the end of Saul's life, we find out that David was still Saul's friend. So this was not an easy time for David. David should have been sitting on the throne with the comforts of a king. But instead, he finds himself many times in a cave longing for just a simple drink of water. David should have been surrounded by friends and family. He should have been surrounded by, if you will, secret service to keep him safe. But yet we find David by himself. At best, we found David surrounded by what many would call a band of misfits. Just a bunch of commoners. David, during this time, sits down and pens Psalms 16. We find the whole premise for Psalm 16 found in the very first word, preserve. David says in verse number 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. That word preserve means to keep something from rotting or from spoiling for a later use. Many of you ladies, or many of you young folks, you've got grandparents that do a lot of canning. What are they doing? They're making preservatives. They're making things. They're putting this item in a pressure cooker, heating it up and sealing it, so that way it can be stored and be used later. You can actually store many foods that would not last as long, a lot longer, through this process. And that's exactly what David is asking here. He says, Lord, preserve me. Save me for a time in which I can be useful. You see, David understood it was not his time to be king. He several times said, I will not lift up mine hand against thine anointed. He had opportunity to destroy his enemy, but he did not. Instead, he prayed, preserve me, O God. David was asking God to keep him usable and to keep his life tasteful for God for a later date. David was not asking for God to remove the pressure in his life. He was asking for God to allow the pressure that he was under to preserve him so he could be used when God saw fit. Psalms 16 has often been referred as David's Michtam. Now, Michtam is a Hebrew word, and in Hebrew, that word Michtam means golden secret, or that nugget of truth that got David through. What was it that allowed David to go through the many hardships that he faced? It is found here in Psalms 16, or if you will, his golden secret. David penned in this psalm an outline that would guide him through this time of pressure, and it would allow him to be preserved and able to be used by God in a great way when God saw fit. You see, many Christians today might find themselves under a little bit of pressure. You see, oftentimes we take a loss of comfort as a trial from God, but that is not the case. But many people are dealing with loss of family. Many people are dealing with a struggle, maybe financially, and you are dealing with a lot of pressure. But if you're not careful, you will find yourself being crushed under that which God meant for it to be used to preserve you. See, the trials of life are like a pressure cooker. They are not fun. They do not always make us feel good. But if we will allow them to, they will strengthen us, and ultimately, we will enjoy the finished result as a Christian by God using us at the right time. Many Christians face difficult times, but they get so focused on themselves that they never learn that golden secret. They never learn that priceless lesson that God wanted them to learn, so that way they could be more profitable for God. Maybe this is what Job meant in chapter 23 in verses 8 through 10 when he said, behold, I go forward and he is not there. backward, but I cannot perceive him on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Job says, I look around, north, south, east, west. I look up, I look down, and I can't see God anywhere in my life. But I like what Job says in verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job said that I'm in a pressure cooker right now, but God knows the way. He knows what he's doing in my life, and if I will allow him to preserve me through the pressure that I find myself under, I will come forth as gold. Maybe that's what Zechariah said in chapter 13 and verse number 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Wonder how many of us would be as close to God as we are if we did not go through the difficulties that we have faced in our life. Maybe it's what Peter said in chapter number 1 in verses 6 through 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God never intended for the trials and the difficulties that he brings into our life. He never allowed that. He never intended for that pressure to destroy us. He intended to use those trials. He intended to use that pressure to preserve us. So that way we can be more useful for him. So that way he can use us when the timing is right. I want to take just a few minutes and look at three different things that David penned for us in Psalm 16. And he said that these are the things that allowed me to not be crushed and rot in my trial, but they were used by God to preserve me and to make me useful for God. We find the very first thing in verse number 1. Preserve me, O God, and here it is, for in thee do I put my trust. What is the very first thing that allowed David to make it through his difficult trial? David was trusting in God's ability to preserve him, not his own. See, many times in life, especially as adults, we're very independent. We're very independent-minded. We want to solve our own problems. Rightfully so, we don't want to have that welfare mentality, but sometimes to a fault where we try to fix everything. And sometimes in our life, God brings a situation into it and he says, you can't solve this one. You need to trust in me. You see, David was not trusting in his own strength because he knew his own limitations. In Psalm 21 and verse number 15, we find David saying, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. There just comes a certain point in our life where our strength as humans fail. Physically, not just emotionally, not just spiritually, not just mentally, but physically. Our physical bodies are not able to handle on its own the pressures that God brings into our life. We understand the effect on the physical body, how our mind affects our physical health, even spiritually and emotionally, how it affects our physical health. David was not trusting in his own ability. He was not trusting in his own strength. He was trusting in God's ability to preserve him. He knew his own limitations, and David, on the other hand, not only knew his own limitations, but he knew who God was. And he penned in Psalms chapter 18 that the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation in my high tower. Many times, as humans, we hit the pressure cookers of life when we run. We run from this solution to that solution. We run to and fro, and we find ourselves empty, and we find ourselves with no strength because we're searching for the answer somewhere other than where we need to be searching, and that is in God. It's hard to stand still. It's hard to wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. It is not easy to stay patient and to wait for God's timing. It is a lot easier to just run and to try to find our own solutions as humans. But David was not trusting in his own strength because he knew his limitations as a human. He also knew who God was. But I like this. David knew where to turn in the time of need. In Psalms chapter number 61, we find a beautiful prayer written by David, and he says this: "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed, when there's nothing else, humanly speaking, that I can do. When I look around and I see no answers for my problem, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Selah. Think about it. David could have spent his time running. He was a warrior. He had seen God do great victories as a mighty warrior. But he wasn't trusting in his own strength. David was a very brilliant man. Brilliant tactician. He had a lot of human resources available to him to turn to. But in the most difficult time of his life, he didn't turn to those things. He prayed to God. We've got a lot of things available to us in America. We've got a lot of comforts. We've got a lot of securities. And it is very easy as a Christian living in this country, living in this world today, that when we face a time of difficulty, we begin to trust in our own ability. We begin to trust in those things that we have been used as a security blanket, or things that are not bad, but things that make us tangibly feel good. And when those things are taken away from us, we begin to run to and fro from one thing to another. But David said, "For in thee do I put my trust." I'm not trusting in my strength. I'm not trusting in his own wisdom. You see, David understood the importance of obeying God when he did not understand what was going on. In Psalms chapter 111 and verse number 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." You see, we want to understand before we obey. But God says, "Obey and I will give you understanding." He was not trusting in his own ability. Sometimes we're faced with difficulties in our life, and we just look at it and we scratch our head and say, "There is no human reasoning as to why this should be happening." It is then when we need to trust in God and not our own wisdom. You see, David understood the dangers of trusting in man's wisdom. In Psalms chapter number 1, we find, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." David understood that man's thinking was different than God's. And if he was going to be preserved in this time of difficulty, he was going to have to not trust his own strength. He was to not trust his own wisdom, but he was to trust in God. David understood the ability of God to provide for his children. In Psalms 37, "I have been young and now am old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David understood the outcome of those who trusted in God's ability to provide. Psalms chapter number 1 and verse number 3, we find that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, a tree needs water to survive. And in your own life as a Christian, if you do not have your roots deeply planted in the Word of God, when the droughts come and the brook runs dry, your leaf will perish. You will find yourself empty as a Christian. But those that trust in God's ability will bring forth his fruit in his season. David, number one, trusted in God's ability to preserve him and not his own. How did David make it through the difficulties of life? Number one, by trusting in God's ability, not his own. Number two, we find in Psalm 16 in verse number 4, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god, lowercase g. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. I'm sure David was human like the rest of us. David had trusted in God. David had watched God pull through many times. But in this circumstance, it seems as if God had hid his face. And you're left standing there wondering if you'd made the right choice as a Christian to follow God. You found yourself standing there wondering if you should have followed the gods of this world. But David stood there in the pressure cooker and said, I'm not going to turn my back on God. He said, though the sorrows be multiplied for those that reject God, what am I going to do? I am not going to drink their offerings of blood. I'm not going to take their names into my lips. I'm going to remain faithful to the God that I know. You see, number two, what helped David get through the times of difficulty is he understood the end result of those who forsake God. Forgive my simplicity, but when working with the teenagers, and honestly, it's not just teenagers, this applies to adults, but one of the biggest struggles with a young person is getting them to see the value in serving God with their life. They're wrapped up in a world of tangible things that they can see, that they can taste, that they can touch, that they can smell, that they can feel, that they can hear, that they can pull close to them. And it is tempting to try to show them that obeying God with your life is more rewarding than living the life that the world has called you to live. You see, David understood this. He understood what the end result of those who forsook God was. He understood that they, in their lives, were filled with pain. Their life was filled with regret. Those who chose to forsake God found their lives dissatisfying. They found their lives disappointing to themselves, and they found themselves more lonely. You see, a Christian who finds himself all alone is not all alone. It is then. The Bible says that when my mother and my father forsake me, it is then he will take me up. You see, a young person's biggest fear is being alone. But in that time of loneliness, it is when they turn to God and they find out that God is greater to them than a mother or a father. You see, we look at the world and we see what they have and we find a security. But we need to understand the end result of those who forsake God. God did not allow the apparent success or the apparent ease of a carnal lifestyle to cause him to live like the godless around him. He says in Psalm 73, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end, not their beginning, not their pleasures, not the enjoyment that they seek in life. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought down into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. David had lived just long enough that he'd watched those who turned their back on God in the times of difficulty. And he watched their life being empty. The world will never satisfy. The world's methods will never satisfy the mouth of a Christian. We need to understand the end of those who forsake God. It is the times of difficulty when we can't see the next step that we look back and we see how God provided for those. And we stand in our time of difficulty with hope, not turning our back on the God who provided before, but we stand there in hope saying, if God did it before, surely he can do it again. David did not forsake the one who promised never to forsake him. In Psalms 119, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after the law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Look what he says, help thou me. They had almost consumed me, but I forsook not thy precepts. Don't forsake the teaching of God's word in a time of difficulty. Don't forsake the Lord's house in a time of difficulty. Don't turn and run and flee after those what seemingly might be greener grass on the other side. The things that the world has to offer. Stay true and stay faithful. Don't forsake the one who has promised never to forsake you. David stayed focused on the reality of life and the outcome of those who forsook God. You see, at the end of Psalms chapter number 1, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, when we say that word ungodly, we think of the whoremongers, the homosexuals, and those that are stooped in deep sin. Ungodly are those who are not Christ-like. Ungodly are those who are not holding true to the principles that God has laid down in His Word for us. Have you found yourself ungodly? Be careful, it's only a matter of time. You can only run for so long that you'll turn into the chaff and the winds of destruction that God will allow to blow will just drive you away from existence. David, in his time of pressure, stood there, tempted like everybody else to tuck tail, turn and run, and to flee to the comforts of the world. And he said, I will not forsake thy precepts. I am not going to forsake the one who has never forsaken me. How did David make it through the time of difficulty? Number one, he trusted in God's ability to preserve him and not his own. Number two, David understood the result of those who forsook God. And lastly, number three, David accepted what God wanted for him in his life. It's difficult as a human that has dreams and has plans, that has goals, they have ambitions. It is hard when those things don't work out the way that you want humanly to be willing to set your goals down and your dreams down and accept what God has brought into your life. As Christians, we begin to enter dangerous waters when we begin to make statements like, I just wish I was like the other nations. We begin to enter into dangerous waters when we begin to say, why can't I do what they're doing? We begin to take our eyes off of what God has intended for us, and we begin to turn into live like the world. You see, as a child of God, we're not the same as the world. We have a different father, we have a different future, and we have a different focus while we're here on this earth. Why should we be surprised when what we have and what they have are not the same? I make this statement fairly often to the teenagers. At any time, I can have what the world has, but they will never have what I have. Don't give up what God has given you. David understood that he was of a royal bloodline. In verse number 6, the lines are fallen unto me in a pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. As a Christian, you have a heritage that you will never, should never be ashamed of. You're a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. I am no longer an outcast. I have been grafted in to the family of God. I've been adopted. I'm a child of the King. How can I be ashamed? How could I sit in the King's palace and desire to have what's on the other side when God has everything that I need right here? David recognized in his life that he had been taught to think differently than the world. Verse number 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. He said, during the night season, I'm not going to follow my heart. I'm going to trust the counsel that I've been given, and I'm going to allow my mind to dictate my actions. David recognized that he was taught to think differently than the world. You and I should not think like the world. We've been taught differently. David realized that the stability in his life that he receives was from his own personal relationship with God. In verse number 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. It is your walk with God that will get you through the difficult times. Don't wait till the difficult times come to develop a walk with God. You can start then, but it's a whole lot easier And it's a whole lot less tumultuous in life when you come to that turmoil, when you come to that pressure cooker and you've already got that relationship with God and you've got that rock to stand on. You've got those wings to curl underneath and to trust in that relationship. David realized that the stability he received in life was because of his personal relationship with God. David did not sacrifice the spiritual on the altar of the temporal. David did not sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporary. And I'm afraid that too many Christians today are sacrificing the permanent for the temporary. They are sacrificing the spiritual on the altar of the carnal. They feel like if they just get a little bit of reprieve by seeking worldly pleasures, that they can return to that spiritual life and they'll be okay and they can make it. You won't sojourn in the world and come back the same. It will take you farther than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay. It is important that you keep your eyes focused and that you do not sacrifice those things and that you accept what God has for you in your life. How many times, Christian, have you prayed for God to use you? How many times, Christian, have you prayed for God to make your life count for Him? How many times have you in your life felt empty and you turned to God and said, God, do something with me? That's what He's doing now. Don't waste the times of pressure. The world promises fame, riches, and satisfaction only to give you loneliness, poverty, and hunger. And that's why in Proverbs chapter 8, the penman wrote, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches, riches that last, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now show me in that passage of Scripture where God intends for you to be neglected as a child of God. Show me in that passage of Scripture where God intends you to not enjoy life. He doesn't. But you gotta get it His way. You can't get it your own way. You can't get it the same way the world does, through lying and cheating and stealing and a dog-eat-dog world mentality. You've got to accept what God wants for your life now. You see, if God gave you everything right now, it would be like dumping a 50-pound bag of fertilizer on a baby plant. You'd burn it up. But just a little fertilizer here and a little fertilizer there goes a long way. And the older that plant grows, the more it can handle. You might be too young. It might burn you up if God gave you everything He had for you right now. He might be waiting. He might be through this pressure, growing you and increasing your ability to be blessed by Him. The world promises all of these things only to leave you empty and naked and lonely. The world promises endless pleasure and eternal happiness, but God gives His children true riches that have no strings attached. In Proverbs chapter 10, we find in verse number 2 that the treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. If you read verse number 22, we find that the blessings of the Lord it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. Oh, you can run to the world and find pleasure. You can run to the world and find a little bit of temporary joy and happiness. But there's strings attached. There's a cost that you don't want to pay at the end of that line. David stood in the time of pressure. He saw the wicked. He saw the ungodly and said, it is not fair that they have the comforts of life. But David was the one at the end of his life who was sitting on the throne and was thankful for his relationship with God and who had everything with no sorrow. Do you want it now for just a little while, or do you want it later and have it with true joy, true happiness? Don't turn your back on God and forsake Him. America may be headed for the pressure cooker. You as a Christian might find yourself right now in a time of difficulty. Maybe you're not in a time of difficulty, but you look at the horizon and you see a storm brewing. You need to learn from David's golden secret. Number one, you need to trust in God's ability to preserve you. Don't trust in your own wisdom. Don't trust in your own strength. Don't trust in your own ability to provide for yourself. You need to understand the end of those that reject God. You need to understand that what they have now is just temporary. Don't be caught off guard by the glistening, the shining, and the shimmering lights that the world offers and the laughter, because you're not there when the lights go down and they're all alone and they're in tears. And their life is empty and wrecked and ruined as the prodigal son found himself in the pig pen of the world. Don't be caught off guard by that. Understand the end for those who reject and forsake God. And lastly, accept in your life the things that God wants for you. Be selfish as a Christian. Learn to want what God has for you. Many of us want the best in life. But when the best comes, we reject it. Because instead of getting a T-bone steak, we get some veggies that we don't find as tasteful. In our life, when God brings it into it, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, God brings it into your life. It may not be tasteful to you as a human, but in the end, it will turn out like He wants. And your life will be profitable. You will receive in your life exactly what you want. Let me close with these verses. What was the result of David's lessons? Psalms chapter 16 and verse number 9. Does this sound like somebody who's depressed? Does this sound like somebody who wishes he wouldn't have served God with his life? What does it say in verse number 9? Therefore my heart was glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also found rest in hope. He says in verse number 10 that He's not been forsaken, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He says in verse number 11, that God shows him the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God knows your human appetites, and God can satisfy them. He knows your need for joy. He knows your need for happiness. He knows your need for pleasure. So why not let God give them to you? Don't seek for those pleasures to be satisfied in the world, Christian. Seek for them at the feet of God. David said that this is my golden secret. This is the thing that got me through life. Preservation under pressure. He said, preserve me, O God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. In your own life as a Christian, maybe you have found yourself tempted because you see what the world has. But you need to be like David and say, until I went to their sanctuary, understood I therein. Don't look at what they have now. Look at where they're headed. Direction is everything. As a Christian, you might be facing difficult times in your life. You don't enjoy the pressure cooker. It's not fun. But don't jump out of the pot into the fire. Ask God to preserve you.